Welcome and happy Friday. This is Travelogue, the podcast of Condé Nast Traveler, and I'm here in the podcast studios with Megan Spurrell, Meredith Carey, and Aaron Florio.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hello.
We all say hello. You can't distinguish any of us.
And we're going to talk about Labor Day weekend getaways, and weekend getaways generally, but this is the season for it. You've got Labor Day coming up next week. It is the end of summer. Sorry about that.
So sad.
Sorry about that. And actually, it's actually already gotten cooler here in New York. I don't know if that's going to remain
this
way.
It's so weird. I feel like no one has acknowledged the fact that suddenly it just dropped 10 degrees.
It, and like 20.
I have to wear a jacket now. Like, it suddenly went from like 95 to 70, and that conversation was never had.
Yeah. I've been wearing long sleeves for 3 days, and I saw on the news this morning that we haven't had 3 days in a row without rain for more than a month, and nobody's acknowledging that. That is weird.
Yankees fans are acknowledging that. Because so many games have gotten rained out that I don't think they have enough time left in the season to make them all up. But we are noticing that summer is coming to an end. We have visible signs of it. And I'm sure you are too, wherever you are. As we get into this long weekend for most of us here in the U.S., we thought we'd talk about some places where you can get good deals, some places that might just be fun places to go at this time of year, or some places that are just great for a weekend to give people some ideas. So, Mer, why don't you start? Because you have done some research for us on the deals front for this particular time of year.
Yes, I will say for the first time in a long time, I actually have planned in advance, so I did not need to take my own advice this year. But if you are listening to this and you are a week out from Labor Day and you have no plans and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? The best place to start, honestly, is to see if you could get Tuesday off at work.
It's always the best place to start.
No, because the best deals are going to be Saturday to Tuesday. At this point, it's too late to go Friday to Monday. Those flights are like $300 more expensive than everywhere else. And then one of my favorite features on Google Flights is just putting in and looking at the map and seeing kind of like where, I mean, we're going to have some suggestions here of places that are relatively inexpensive and it's a great weather time to go. But I think that if you just want to get away, like looking at a big map, seeing what flight prices are, seeing what fits in your budget is probably the best bet. And I don't think that necessarily means you have to stay close to where you are. Flights to Hawaii from New York cost the same as they do from LA for Labor Day weekend. It's about $500, which again, is not a necessarily cheap flight for a lot of people.
But that is a long flight.
But it's a long flight. It's relatively inexpensive compared to how flights to Hawaii have cost in the last couple of years. And if you're looking to go to Hawaii, need a last minute thing, you know.
You've already got the built-in day off. You might as well take advantage.
You might as well. So I think that, you know, the biggest advice I have is to kind of alter your idea of the long weekend. Okay. And kind of like adjust accordingly. And then I think the best advice that we give always is keep an open mind, because you're going to get the best deals if you don't know, like, okay, I have to go to this place on these exact dates. If you have like a little bit of flexibility, can go nearby, fly in nearby, get a rental car, those sorts of things are always good to keep in mind, to be as flexible as possible. So you can actually get out and go somewhere and not spend all of your dollars.
So question about that. Is there the same kind of savings to be had if you were to take Thursday instead of Tuesday?
No, because you'd be still getting probably back on Monday if you were heading out. So it just means kind of shifting it to those off periods when less people are going to be flying, because there's still going to be a bunch of people who take Friday off and fly out Thursday. Yep. So you want to kind of adjust and go in the middle of when people are traveling, get back after everyone else is back, to get the best bang for your buck.
And just not have to compete with everyone else on the road, right? Like, that sounds better anyway, if you can.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a big driving weekend, it's a big flying weekend. So yeah, it's kind of like one of those major holidays where you're going to want to avoid the TSA lines and all that traffic that's going to come with Friday and Monday travel.
For sure. So what are some of the places that you've been able to identify that have good deals and are a good place to go?
Well, I think Megan and I have been talking about San Francisco, which lovely podcast contributor Mark Elwood also brought up on his recent appearance on the Today Show as a great place to visit. And we talk about San Francisco all the time on this podcast. I know it is a city very close to your heart, Brad, but I think we talk about it as a great place to go for a long weekend because the weather's going to be great, Indian summers.
It's the best time
hopefully.
There.
Yes, you are getting
you can't bank on the weather being great in San Fran, but
it's
better.
No, but you can. But
it's
as you get into
June.
This time of year, like this is one of those times of year where now through really kind of November in San Francisco, I mean, I lived there for a decade and I don't think it changed that much since I left. you know, this is where you really can count on, like, the fog being less than what it normally is during what it is throughout the summer, and the temperatures being sort of really nicely temperate into the evenings. It's super pleasant to hang out. It's super pleasant to walk around at night at this time of year out there. So I think it's just good. If you're going to go to San Francisco, now is the time to go. Now to note, it doesn't have to be Labor Day weekend, but
I also think there's so much around San Francisco that, like, I know we talk about it a lot, but you could go, I mean, you could do 4 long weekends in a year to San Francisco and go to totally different places. Like, you can go up to Marin, you can go to different spots to have oysters, like, you can go to different areas for hiking, you can go south towards Monterey, like, you can go so many different places if you fly into there that are all going to be really nice right now.
Not to mention the area around Big Sur is finally completely reopened too after all of the landslides and mudslides last year that closed off a lot of the highways. So a lot of the hotels have reopened for the season with sort of new and improved, you know, rooms and restaurants and bars to welcome the new crowd. So that's another place that you couldn't really go to for a lot of the year that you can go to now.
Yeah.
And I will also say that on our website, in our city guides, we do have like a best day trips from San Francisco gallery, which has some like off the beaten path places, because I think that the concern is somewhere like Big Sur might be like totally packed at this time of year because everyone's going there because it just opened. But I don't think that should dissuade you from going. Listen to our road trip episode to hear Lale.
Two episodes ago, right?
Absolutely love on that road trip. But if you're looking to, again, like fly into the city, you've been to San Francisco a million times, those day trips are probably a good place to start.
Yeah.
And I will say this is like the one time of the year where you know it'll be warm enough to go to the beach in San Francisco. Like, that's not the case in June always. So yeah,
for sure.
It's great.
What is the beach that you can actually swim at? And then what's the beach that you want to go for like windsurfing and sailing and stuff like that?
Like Half Moon Bay, you could go down to Half Moon Bay if you wanted to sail or something. I see a lot of boats there, so I figure that's what people do. Obviously, the San Francisco Bay as well, but like that's an area that the rest of the year has really heavy fog and is gorgeous, and like go now while it's sunny out. And then I think Baker Beach and stuff kind of on the backside of
the
Golden Gate
Bridge. That's more of a wading swimming beach, Baker Beach, right?
I guess. But right next to the, like on the backside of where the Golden Gate Bridge is on the San Francisco, not the Marin side, like there are really nice beaches there. And it's a really long stretch where there are different spots where like Ocean Beach has more open water and you can surf there and there are huge waves and
that's
probably
want to
surf there.
Of.
Yeah.
Ocean Beach.
But there are other spots where you can like actually swim and I don't know. This is
And again, this may have changed, but Baker was more of a like layout, hangout kind of swim beach.
Yeah.
There's a nude beach that's part of it. Then there's non-nude beach that's part of it. And you get that fantastic view of the bridge. So it's really nice beach to chill on. Mm-hmm. And then Ocean Beach was more active and like, you know, the surfing and the hanging out. And then Funston, you could actually, wasn't that great a beach, at least in my judgment, but you could actually do hang gliding.
Yeah.
Out at Funston.
Because there's like big cliffs that you walk down. Yeah. And so people like that because you can kind of like hike down. You feel active. People bring their dogs, you know.
You feel active.
You can be like, oh, look at me, I'm hiking. And then you get to the beach like 5 minutes later and you can do all these other things. And yeah, that's like, I don't know. That's a cool area too. And it's beautiful. Like those cliffs down to it are really gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Where else, Mare?
Do we want to talk about Idaho?
I think we want to talk about
my
Idaho.
My new favorite state.
Yeah, you were just in Idaho.
I was just in Idaho 2 weeks ago, and I think every single person, and this is like the opposite of a diss to people from Idaho, but like everyone was like, why are you flying on a non-direct flight from New York to
it's
get to
winter.
Idaho?
It's not winter. You're not skiing.
Exactly. But I was going up to a ski area. I was going up to the Ketchum Sun Valley area, which is kind of in central Idaho. You can fly to Sun Valley. There's some direct flights from the West Coast. Most of them are connecting. Or you can fly into Boise and drive. It's about 2.5 hours. But you're driving to Sun Valley and Ketchum to go to the largest dark sky reserve in the United States, which means that the light pollution restrictions are so heavy that you can literally walk outside. And I did this the first night because I was so exhausted that I didn't think I could go into the reserve and like safely make it out alive by driving my car by myself. But I just went out on I was staying with family. I went out on the golf course and could see the entire Milky Way, could see a meteor shower. I could see it all. And I was just like literally avoiding sprinklers on the golf course. And it's magical because being in New York, I have to like squint and be like, is that a plane? Is it a star? But there, it was like, it was so hard to even find the stars that I knew, like the stars that I can keep track of, because there were so many that I could not even figure out, like, where the stars that I recognized were. And I just thought that, you know, especially as a city gal, it was really nice to be out there. There are some incredible hikes, some really easy hikes, some difficult hikes. If you go there, make sure to stop at the Elephant Perch, which is this gear store that they do bike rentals and kayak rentals and those sorts of things. They can help you plan a day hike or a longer one if you'd rather do some camping, which is not really my style, so I stuck to the day hikes. But there aren't any fires there right now, which is great. There is definitely some smoke from the fires in California.
In Idaho.
Wow. There's actually smoke like all the way into the Atlantic right now, which is kind of insane. But air quality conditions as of now are like perfectly fine for somebody, a relatively active person to hike. Maybe someone with asthma, not as highly suggested.
Really?
But I mean, it's visibly smoky.
Really? But at night, did it get in the way?
Yeah, it clears out in the evening, okay, as the wind picks up. And it also is like such a beautiful temperature right now. It's like in the 80s during the day, gets into the 60s at night.
I was going to ask, is there a community of people who do this? Is this a thing? Do people chase this
dark
kind
sky
of dark
chasers?
Sky?
I have to say, it's growing in popularity, not just in America, but everywhere. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there are actually a group of people that do chase it. But as a tourism feature, it's getting pretty big.
And like, what are hot spots? Like, if you're into it, where do you go?
So one of the best spots, okay, this has nothing to do with Labor Day getaways, but the Canary Islands has one of the best spots in the world, because you can go to this really high peak on this mountain and you get these incredible views of the sky. And there's something about, I can't remember the specifics, but there's something about the position of the Canaries in that part of the Atlantic with this mountain and the elevation that opens up the skies completely. Another really awesome place. If anyone's been on safari, you know that at nighttime, just the sky just is like sprinkled with hundreds and thousands of stars, and it's incredible to see. And if you have a good guide, they will also talk you through like the sky map while you're on safari, which is awesome. New Zealand has great dark sky reserves.
So
there's this place called Great Barrier Island, which doesn't have a lot of unnatural light, and it's one of the best places in the world to see the southern hemisphere sky map. And this really awesome thing that opened, I forget which hotel it was, but at one of the hotels in the Maldives, which is sort of situated where the northern hemisphere hits the southern hemisphere, or at least you can see where the skies collide. You can see both the northern hemisphere.
Somewhere in the dotted line.
Yeah. Leave a mark.
Running through the middle.
Somewhere in the Milky Way there is. No, but you can see both the northern hemisphere sky map and the southern hemisphere sky map at once,
wow,
which is
like
awesome.
If you turn one way and then if you turn
the
other.
I haven't done it myself, but I know that they've been marketing that, which
what
is
about
cool.
Atacama? Isn't Atacama a place where there's like...
I mean, anywhere where you're getting out where you're so far from like towns or people, like, are amazing. Like, most deserts, I think, have a really good visibility. Yeah. Atacama has amazing visibility, but you're also in the middle of nowhere.
But I will say that's the nice thing about, you know, I think there's some places on the South Island in New Zealand that are really great for it as well. But the nice thing about this setup that exists in North America is that, you know, you're 3 hours from a state capital. Mm. And you're in towns that are set up in full ski resorts in the winter and are like very popular in the summer for visitors. And you literally drive like in, you know, one night I hopped in my car at 11:30, drove 20 minutes into the reserve, stepped out, and could see the Big Dipper above the mountains. Like, mm-hmm. you're not having to go into these incredibly rural areas. You're like, I'm staying at my
aunt
and uncle's condo and stepping out into the golf course.
How confident were you that it was the Big Dipper? Because every time I am looking, I think that's the Big Dipper.
It feels like the Big Dipper.
It seems like...
I was
like...
confident because I have this app called Skyview, which has...
Cheated.
I did cheat.
Artificial intelligence.
That was the thing, is that like I had no idea, like, you know, there's so many stars. If you use averted vision, which is where you kind of like look in one direction, but you're mm-hmm. really looking in another direction out the corner of your eye, mm-hmm. you can see the Andromeda Galaxy, which is like 2.5 million light years away. It's like so incredible.
Wow.
But I will say that
do people
this...
bring equipment other than the app?
Yeah, I mean, I think that
telescope people like hanging out? Yeah.
And if you go into Stanley, which is in the middle of the reserve, which you're definitely going to have to commit to get out there before it's nighttime, because there's no street lights. There's like, you know, you're out there.
Can you use your headlights when
yeah.
you drive?
Okay.
Yeah. What are the restrictions? Are there
no,
restrictions?
You, no, the cars have
when
to
you said it was really hard to drive, I was like, wait, so is it fully dark?
Well, no, but that's the thing. Like, I was getting distracted driving because I could see the stars out of my, like, front windows. Like, I was just like, oh, that's so great. No, but the light restrictions are on properties. So, you know, you can drive down the street, but they're trying to make sure that all the lights are low wattage, they're not LEDs, that they're all facing down so that they're not projecting any light into the sky, that they're basically directed at the things that you actually need to be lit. So instead of having these beautiful ranches that are out there, instead of having all the trees lit like you would in a more urban area or suburban area, you know, it's dark and you just see like the one light for the house in the distance. But you get, you know, into the reserve, and that's the thing. I had my brights on so that I, one, didn't hit any animals, and also so that I could see the road. And you can go out to Stanley, which is in the middle, and there are kind of more astronomers and that sort of situation going on. But there are a bunch of amateur astronomers who hold classes and things like that in Sun Valley and in Ketchum, and there's an opportunity for that. But I also, like, went out with an iPhone and caught a meteor on my iPhone. So
did you
I
really?
Think, again, apps, man, they're great. Nightcap.
I saw it.
It's great. You literally, like, what I did is I just took my phone, put it face down on the roof of my car. The Nightcap app has all the settings for getting meteors, for getting stars. You literally just, like, push the button. As a non-expert photographer, definitely would not have been able to capture it with my DSLR without, like, 2 months of classes, and could just pick up my phone and see it. And I think that, one, the nice thing about the SkyView app is that it has a red light feature, which is basically like when you put your phone into nighttime mode and it gets really warm and weird looking. Red light is really easy on the eyes and it doesn't ruin your natural night vision. So using the apps that have those sort of features and don't use that blue white light is also really important when you're out there.
Something I was going to say earlier when you were talking about how this dark sky reserve is so cool because it's not in the middle of nowhere. Like, Sun Valley is also a really cool place to go in the summer. Like, you should go to Sun Valley anyways and go hiking and hang out in, like, that
town.
And
you can go fly fishing. And it's just a really... I was there for less than 3 days. I was there for one full day and kind of a little bit on either side. And it was, like, just enough of a taste of, like... outdoors that I was like, oh, why can't I stay a little longer? Because it was just like to have, even though it was smoky, like to have fresh air, to be able to hike. You know, there aren't that many people around, even though it isn't like incredibly rural. There are also like other, you know, national parks and state parks nearby that are absolutely insane. Like Craters of the Moon National Monument, which is like all of these really crazy caves and literal craters that have been created that also is a dark sky park but isn't a dark sky reserve. It's just different restrictions on light pollution.
Reserve is more dark?
Reserve is darker. But I think that, you know, it really surprised me and made me think I definitely need to be going back to Idaho. And I think that especially if you're going from the West Coast, wanting to be outdoors, trying to avoid these incredible, terrible fires, it's a good place to go.
Yeah, and a good time of year to go.
Yeah.
Megan, what are you thinking about?
Well, I think about a lot of places, but I just got back from Argentina, or from Buenos Aires, about, what, a couple weeks ago now? Time flies.
And you spent a lot of time there. You live there, right?
Well, no, I just spent a long trip there a few years ago. I spent about a month there and passed through a few other times. But I hadn't been back in about 4 years, and So I went at the end of July, start of August for a week. And, you know, I was a little nervous before because the weather forecast said it was going to be raining the whole time. I knew it was a low season. You know, when I asked people about things to do while I was there, they're like, oh, everyone's out of town.
Because it's their winter. So it's not like the hot.
Yeah. You know, it's like, not what a lot of people think about when they're like, oh, I'm going to head to South America for a week. But it was, I actually really loved it because it was totally empty, like in a really nice way. Like we would go spend a day in Estancia where we would have, you know, a really big barbecue and ride horses. I learned how to play polo one day, which is crazy. And we would get to these places and it wasn't a private experience, except no one else was there because people aren't going to Buenos Aires at that time of year. And I thought it was such a great experience. It rained a few days, but it didn't matter because, again, like we'd go to a museum and have, you know, floor to yourself, or you could get into restaurants that are usually harder to get into. It was, you know, the wait was a little bit shorter. So I think Buenos Aires right now, like this time of year, especially September, you know, Art Basel's coming up. It's going to be in, I think, start of September.
And this is the first year that they're having it in Buenos Aires?
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
But this will be the first time Art Basel is in Buenos Aires, and I think it's just like a nice time of year to, if, you know, if you were to go in September, you would miss a lot of the rain, but you'd still be on the shoulder before it gets super packed. And so there are great flight deals. Like, also, I stayed in this beautiful boutique hotel in Palermo called Jardín Escondido, and like it's Francis Ford Coppola's old home there, like vacation home. And no one else was there when I was there, so I like had the home to myself. Like, I felt like I had my own just house. Like, it was really cool. So I don't
Megan
know.
Coppola, and her mansion.
Is the Coppola company involved in that place?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
okay.
It's
gotcha.
Their, it used to be their vacation home, and they've adapted it a little bit, but it feels like you're staying in someone's home. Yeah. And to me, it felt like I had an entire home to myself, which yeah. is very cool.
Yeah.
So
that's great. They're getting heavy into the hotel game. They're doing.
They've had a lot of they have a lot of hotels. They have yeah. the great one in Italy.
Belize.
They have one in Belize. I remember when they opened this place in Palermo, and like all of a sudden everybody in America was talking about not just going to Buenos Aires, but going to Palermo Soho. Like, that was like the neighborhood in all of South America that everyone wanted to go to. And it was because of this hotel, really. And all
Do
the
we
great
like
stuff happening.
Are they good? You liked it.
I had a great experience. I thought, I mean, it was just a really nice way to see a city to not be in, like, I prefer smaller hotels. It mm-hmm. felt, it really felt like I was in a home. I think that's, it also helped that I was the only like person there for most of the time, that I felt like I had this great house to myself. But it just, yeah, it was a really wonderful experience. I think it was, and it still had a lot of character. It didn't feel like they had changed it a lot. Yeah. It was great.
Cool. Erin, what do you think?
Well, I am not going there for Labor Day, but I just got back from the Bahamas. And I have to say, from the East Coast, it's so easy and it's just so relaxing to go there. You sit on a plane for like 2.5 hours and then you're just at the beach. And there's nothing else to do but go to the beach, which is just wonderful. Because
yeah.
sometimes it's so nice to take the pressure off of your vacation. And I stayed at the New Rosewood, which was really beautiful. And in September, they're opening 200 more rooms in that hotel. The first wing just opened in June. It was just great, super easy. And I really recommend anybody from the East Coast, if they just have a quick weekend and they want to be somewhere really quick that feels like they've traveled a long distance, do it. And, the you know, it's in that part of the Caribbean, which is not 100%, but safer from the threat of hurricanes yeah. at this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just great. I just love going down there because, like I just said, it's so easy. And the people are so lovely and the water is so beautiful.
It's a good say goodbye to summer kind of place, because you get
yeah.
the beach, but you don't have to travel very far, and it is kind of different.
And it makes you feel like you've reset, even in, yeah. you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
Because it really is just that 180 lifestyle from what you do for all of us urbanites that live in New York or Philly or wherever else. It just feels so utterly different, and it's just such a lovely way to reset. So I really recommend that. And there's a ton of airlift going in. I mean, you can get to Nassau from everywhere.
Airlift.
Sorry.
I feel like I have to grab onto like netting and get into the...
Ton of planes. Ton of direct flights in.
There's just
we call
ton
those
of planes.
Sorry. There are many flights. You can actually sit down.
Separate
it's okay.
the editor from the traveler. But apart from that, you know, we're talking about BA and Caribbean. You don't have to go that far. There are so many awesome, really accessible places close to anywhere that you live, which you can still get to. We ran this, you know, what I think was a great piece online. Probably not just because I was the author of it, but earlier this summer.
It was amazing.
It was fantastic. Really broke the internet. Just about all the new openings that are so close to New York and so easy to get to. We have some great things opening in upstate, up in Massachusetts. Tourists finally opened after like 3 years of conversation, which is 5 hours from New York City. You got to drive up. It's a beautiful drive. You're in the Berkshires and you're super close to all of the art galleries. And it's just a really cool, great place to stay.
But I would also say that even though these are places that are, you know, probably geared towards New York travelers, the driving distance from, say, D.C. or Philly or Boston would not be like that much incrementally harder for anyone to get to. You know, it's really like for all across the Northeast.
Yeah. And these places in upstate New York as well, in Hudson, they've got a lot of great openings. You know, Eastwind is one that's sort of stood out this summer. And if you're coming from D.C. or Philly, absolutely. And it's on the train line. It's really easy.
I went to, two weekends ago to Ithaca, like, and to different places on the Finger Lakes. And I couldn't believe I'd never been to upstate New York before. And
so nice.
There's just so much. Like, again, it's the kind of area that you could go back every long weekend all year round and still not finish seeing all the different spots you want to. Like, you can sit outside and go to different breweries. There's wine tasting.
I was in upstate last Labor Day weekend, and every day was just a different swimming hole and a different hiking trail and just a different great local restaurant. It's just so lovely up there. And it's true, Meredith's point is very valid. It's not just for New Yorkers. It's really accessible to a lot of the East Coast.
Yeah, Massachusetts can get there, Vermont can get there. DC, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You can also, and I would also say you can, if you're willing to drive 5 or 6 hours, you can add another hour to that and go to Montreal.
Yeah.
Also it's very accessible.
Great time of year to be in Montreal.
Yeah, the weather's not going to be too cold yet. It's generally pretty temperate right now. Very nice.
And I could be wrong, but I don't think it's also Canada's Labor Day, so you might have a little
things might be deal. Open.
Sometimes our holidays are different.
Yeah,
might be nice.
Yeah.
You know what's great? Actually, Miami right now.
Like Miami is hot.
But it's stormy, but you know what? It's low season, so you're going to get better deals. You're going to have thunderstorms every afternoon. That's fine. That comes with the territory. But they've got really cool stuff happening in Miami. They've just got the new generator that is open there, which is like $95 doubles, which is awesome deal right on South Beach across the street
from
the Faena. Have
you ever stayed in one of those?
I have. I've stayed in three of them.
How do you
Maybe
like them?
Four.
How do they compare to like the Freehand?
So the only ones I've stayed in are the ones in Europe, because the one in Miami is the first one in the U.S. The Freehand is more sophisticated, but they're trying to meet those standards of the Freehand with the product that they're introducing to the American market. So I think the American generator, the ones that they're opening across the U.S., are going to be a little bit more sophisticated. You know what? They're great. They're the non-hostile hostel. I mean, you almost don't even want to use the word hostel. They've got the guys from Broken Shaker opening the bar in generator in
really?
Miami. Yeah, which is great. Which is
didn't they do it at
they
the
did
Freehand?
Freehand.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I didn't actually stay at the Freehand, but I went there actually to eat and to, you know, drink. And it did feel like very sceney. Like,
and it's the only place in Miami that feels like that.
Yeah.
Miami lacks that just sort of cool modern cocktail scene. They've got the clubs, they've got the bars, but they don't have that thing that you feel could be like a sophisticated hangout that doesn't feel overtly sceney, you know?
It reminded me of places like that. I think California does that reasonably well, right? Like, there are places where you feel like you can go. It's fairly relaxed. I remember lots of places like that in San Francisco. Maybe there's water nearby or maybe not. And it feels like you can hang out there for a while, maybe get something to eat, get something to drink.
And also the kind of place, like, if you're meeting up with a friend or a friend of a friend, like, you could tell any person to meet there and know that they'll like it, and it's, like, a cool place to go.
Yeah.
And I know I just complained about it being hot, but if you are looking for a deal, looking at somewhere like Austin or somewhere like Miami that's going to be a little toastier, that other people might not be super jazzed, or like, you know, humidity wise and all that kind of stuff, you know, they've got great air conditioning
and plenty of water to
and
cool off.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even if you go to Austin, Barton Springs is the place to go. It's kind of, it's not a public pool, but it's an outdoor pool and it's really beautiful. So I think it's the same sort of thing. Like, you're not going to the beach and you're not going to a cool place, but you're going somewhere that you're definitely going to be able to save money on a flight and on a hotel by getting there.
Mary, you mentioned Denver.
I'm actually going to Denver. I'm going to visit my little brother. Yeah. Shout out to Drew. But I am super excited because one of Bon Appetit's best new restaurants in the U.S., one of the top nominees, is Call. And it's this all-day cafe that opened last December, and working on stopping by there. I mean, most of the time when I go and visit my brother, he...
What's it called?
Call. Just C-A-L-L.
Oh, I didn't...
Call.
You
Call.
Actually said it and I didn't recognize that.
But he works at Red Rocks, so we're going to a concert at Red Rocks, which is going to be great. We're going to go hiking. We're going to go to Call. We're going to go and just stuff our faces with pancakes at Snooze and then walk it off. But I think that, you know, what I'm most excited about is it'll be... I've been going to Denver. He just graduated from college. I've been going a lot while he's been in school, and it's going to be really nice, I feel like, to not have a super packed trip in Denver, to just actually like enjoy it and chill, which I know is not necessarily like the traveler attitude, but I also think that it provides like this, you know, like mountain version of the beach, and that like you don't have to do a ton of stuff. Everything's pretty sprawling. You're gonna need a car, but the attitude of the city is not like so rushed and urban that you feel like you have to cram as much in as you might if you visit, you know, New York or San Francisco. You can see enough, you can go to a museum or two, you can eat out, you can have a great meal, you can hike, you can see concerts, and then you can just absolutely chill.
That's such a good point, though, to make a case for why you go back to a destination you've already been to. I love the repeat visit because you get permission to just kind of do things on your own schedule, and it's the nicest way to see a city. And the first time you go, or not even just a city, anywhere, the first time you go, you feel so obligated. And that's why, like, I will always make the case for going back to a place a second time, yeah, instead of maybe going to a new place for the first time.
And I think, you know, I was trying to decide between Montreal and Denver because I have a friend who lives in Montreal that I was going to go visit. And I decided to actually do that later in the month because I wanted the, I'm taking Friday to Monday, and I wanted the 4 days to just like have in Denver and absolutely check out, mm-hmm, not check my phone, hang out with my cousins, mm-hmm, see my little bro.
Good weather? Sounds, you great, expecting good weather?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But it felt like a really good idea.
Yeah.
That meant not going back to Texas, which is where I'm from, but also still seeing family. That's great.
That's great. Megan, any other?
Where are you going?
Yeah,
do you have plans?
Are you doing anything?
Yes, I am. I'm moving, which made me totally forget that I'm also going to Colombia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, on the 1st. So, yep, I'm going. I'm heading to Medellin and Cartagena. I'm really excited. It's definitely not, it's something that I've had booked for a while and not a last minute suggestion. I mean, I have no idea what flights are, but it's, you know, I've never been to Colombia, and obviously everyone's pretty obsessed with it these days. So
it's not high season right now. I don't know what the flights are like, but high season is like January, right?
And there's good flights that go into Colombia too. It's not that hard to get to. Yeah. A lot of options.
Yeah. And it's not, even though it's South America, which sounds so far, like, I mean, it's half the journey of going to Argentina or something. It's not that long of a flight.
It's like 2 hours from Miami or something, right? It's really like super close.
And and time zone wise, it's really reasonable to not be jet lagged when you have to go into work.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I think that's my argument for a lot of Central and
South America.
South America,
oh, totally,
is like you're in the same time zone. So even if you travel far, it's not that far. But yeah, I mean, even on that note, I would say something I've always talked about on long weekends, but I think Guatemala is such a great destination, and they have some really good leave Thursday night red eye, come back Monday morning flights from LA and San Francisco and a bunch of big cities in the US. And I would also say that's a great one to do. I don't know what the prices are now, but you can pull it off.
Do it.
Yeah.
Erin, do you have plans?
I'm going to be in New York. It's really sad. I wish I could say I was going somewhere. I always go away for long weekends, but maybe I'm just going to have a little, you know, a little staycation, which is nice sometimes.
Yeah, you're doing the counterintuitive thing.
Yeah.
The counter commute or whatever it's called.
Reverse commute. You know what? I also love being in the city when everyone else is out of the city.
Right?
It's wonderful.
You can finally get restaurants you want to go to. Totally. You can skip the line at all those museums.
It's like the city you actually want to live in, not the one you actually do live in.
I mean, that's actually not
at home.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to be New York centric, but it's not a bad suggestion for people who don't live here if you do want to come here, because if this weather holds, this is actually super pleasant to be around, hanging around in. And you're right, like, you'll be able to get into everything.
And hot tip, hotels in the city are cheaper during Labor Day weekend than they are outside of cities. So you could actually get a kind of a good deal. It's still going to cost you an arm and a leg, but kind of a good deal in a New York City hotel.
That's pretty smart. I hadn't even thought of that. Great, great weekend to actually come here when everybody else is gone. New Yorkers are a pain in the ass. They don't really want to hang out with us. Okay. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud. Visit us at cntraveler.com. You can find Mare's piece about flight deals for Labor Day weekend there, as well as Erin's fantastic article.
I might have oversold it.
It's pretty good. So good. Mare, what's going on the Women Who Travel this week or next week?
This episode that we recorded a couple weeks ago with Jamie Monahan, who works as a college recruiter during the week, and that's her day job. And the rest of the time she's swimming in Arctic waters. And she's doing this crazy thing right now where she is trying to swim on 6 continents in 16 days, do marathon swims. She's just like an incredible person. And Lolly and I spent the entire podcast like with our jaws wide open. You know, there are so many people who want to do these incredible travels and are trying to find the time. And she's somebody who's doing the most and also works a regular job. It was super interesting, a side of travel that I may never experience, but it was great hearing from her. definitely tune into that episode because it was pretty frigging cool.
Yeah, we spend so much time with people who are professional travel people of one kind or another, whether they run hotels or airlines or whatever, that to see somebody that committed who's doing a regular job is pretty impressive.
Pretty crazy. And I just think that, you know, again, it comes down to that commitment and that prioritization for her. It's always finding places that she can swim in these like locales that are things that you've seen before, but she's seeing a side of them that you may never see.
Yeah. Cool. So subscribe to that and go give it a listen. We are at Condé Nast Traveler on Facebook and YouTube and CN Traveler on Instagram and Twitter. And please do tweet at us, send us your feedback, review us on iTunes, all the things. Megan, where can people get in touch with you if they want to hear about Argentina?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram, at Spirelli. It's a Y on the end Spirelli. Of my last name.
Another good one. Mare, what about you?
You can follow me for lots of like really aggressive EDM videos over Labor Day, thanks to the show that I'm going to, at Oh Hey There Mare.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, get ready, guys. Okay. It's like the opposite of the usual content on my feed.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Aaron?
On Instagram, I'm at Aaron_Florio.
Okay, I'm at Bradrick. Have a great weekend, everybody, and plan your Labor Day getaways. We'll have a podcast for you to listen to while you're traveling. Coming up.